Welcome to the Latinx, Latina, and Social Work Podcast, the podcast where we feature people who have an amazing impact on the Latinx, Latina, and the Latino community. My name is Erica Sandoval. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the CEO and founder of Sandoval Collab and Latinx and Social Work, Inc. Each week, I'm joined by leaders in politics, community organizations, businesses, social justice warriors, and of course, our social workers. We use a mental health, wellness, and social justice lens to talk about issues that impact communities of color while amplifying the voices of individuals and organizations that are doing the work to advance community healing. We're making a space to celebrate our work and talk about what still needs to be done to strengthen our Latino, Latinx, Latinx communities and provide them with resources and tools and tips to support them as they navigate the world. Enjoy the episode. Hello, hello, everyone. This is a very interesting podcast today because I'm actually going to be the guest that's being interviewed. Happy Social Work Month. Happy Women's History Month. I have the honor of being requested to hear my own story by an incredible social worker, Pilar Bonilla, and I'm passing the baton to her. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. My name is Pilar Bonilla, and I will be your host today, and Erica will be the guest speaker. Erica is a licensed clinical social worker, an award-winning mental health practitioner, speaker, spiritual healer, podcaster, advocate, and four-time published award-winning author of Latinx and Social Work, available in both English and Spanish. She is the founder and CEO of Sandoval Psychotherapy Consultation, known as Sandoval Collab, where she oversees a team of therapists and leads diversity, equity, and inclusion work for nonprofits, universities, healthcare facilities, and corporations. And she is the executive director of Siembra Today, Inc., a woman-run, BIPOC-led nonprofit organization devoted to transforming the lives of our community by providing accessible mental health and wellness support. The mission of Siembra Today is to disrupt oppressive systemic barriers to mental health and equip the Latina community with tools to transform their well-being. Erica is also trained in ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, otherwise known as CAP, a breakthrough approach to an awakened mind, healing trauma and depression. She is dedicated to bringing CAP and other holistic methods of healing to communities disproportionately affected by trauma. So what better person to interview today on Women's History Month and Social Work Month? Erica, your Latinx and Social Work book series has made a profound impact in amplifying diverse voices within the social work community. Could you share some of your achievements or positive outcomes you've observed since its release?
No, absolutely, Pilar. Well, thank you so much for the introduction. You know, when you hear bios, it's really validating of the work that we do, and I appreciate that. One thing I do want to share is I'm one of three social workers in my family, and so social work is really close to my heart. And I was born in Ecuador, and I was raised in Astoria, Queens. So just serving my community in Queens has been something that has been super healing for me, as I remember being that little girl. So Latinx and Social Work, the book series, my goodness, since we launched in 2021, we have created a movement of incredible social workers sharing their personal narratives. I think that's the number one thing that we want to address, because it's really not seen in respected spaces. And sharing your narrative as a person of color in books can be a powerful tool for promoting the representation and diversity in literature. And it allows for amplification of the marginalized voices and perspectives that has happened. And we are providing a platform for that, for individuals to tell their own stories in their own words. We never had a platform. Many times you hear our stories being told in the classroom, being told in organizations about the immigrant experience, about the Latino experience, about the Latina experience. And we actually really wanted to own our own story and share it to inspire and to also undo all the stigmas and biases that people may have about us. We know there's not enough social workers in the field and that our representation of the community that we're serving, the Latine, Latinx, Latino community, and that are bicultural and bilingual. And so we wanted to really bring this to the community to really share what is social work, how can you get involved in social work, and to undo the stigma of that social workers don't make any money and they're just taking kids away. I mean, that is just so, you know, that bias is so adamant across all areas. We've become award-winning authors. The first book was the bestseller in the first hour that it was released. The OGs, as we like to call them, they were still super close and we built community together. And they are the trailblazers that have inspired others to continue in sharing their story. Then, and we had honorable mention with the first book. And then the second book, we won Best Self-Transformation Book from the International Latino Book and Film Festival. And I was in California. And we've also sold thousands of copies and then donated over $10,000 to Latino Social Work Coalition, Latino Student Social Work Group at NYU, and other organizations that are supporting the work that needs to get done. And the podcast has been really successful. We've had incredible guests, the authors. Many authors have launched their own companies, their own brands, and they're doing incredible work in the community. And we continue to stay together and present at conferences and community events. And now we launched a nonprofit, Siembra Today, which I think is one of our babies now. You know, when you're thinking of when you're launching a business or you're launching something, you think of it as like your baby and it's a newborn. And we're carrying it. We're caring for it so, so deeply with love. All of us are invested in the beautiful work that we're going to be doing together as a community. And last but not least, we're an official registered trademarked brand, which is huge. It took some time to do that. And we are incredibly proud of the work that we have done. And we would have not been able to do this without each author, each social worker sharing their own personal narrative. So that's just to name a few. I'm sure I missed some things, but I'm really excited about the work that we have done and continue to do.
That's amazing. Everything that you've done since, what, 2021, right?
Yeah, 2021.
Wow. It's just to watch all of this grow. And you've been an advocate for social justice and mental health awareness for quite some time now. Can you share with everyone your personal growth and involvement?
Well, as a little girl, 4-year-old Ecuadorian coming to this country as an immigrant, we were definitely traumatized due to, one, it started in our country. We were traumatized over the loss of our my grandfather, my abuelito, who died tragically in an accident, and my abuelita having to navigate systems that she was not familiar with and financial systems, and lost all the business and the money, and being very just unstable in her own country, and unprocessed grief and trauma, financial trauma. And then coming to a new country, you can imagine how much my abuelita needed, and my mother, who was just, I think, like in her early 20s. I think my daughter's age. My daughter is 23. She was younger than my daughter when she came here and with me. And we navigated this world, which was so just unjust for people that are coming into this country that didn't speak the language, that weren't from here, and it still is. And it played a lot on my family's mental health, my grandmother's mental health, my mother's mental health. And there was a lot of anxiety that we were experiencing and a lot of trauma and processed trauma. And so if we had support systems, if we had mental health providers, if we had access, we could have been a little bit better at navigating the spaces that we were in. And perhaps maybe I would have gotten to where I am a little bit sooner, because it took me a long time. Because at 19, I was basically trying to still figure myself out and processing my own grief and trauma, and even was suicidal in my teenage years. And having to really admit that now was something that was alarming to my family, saying, wow, I didn't even realize like that's what you were going through. And it happens. And it's not because you have such deep depression that you have not been treated for. It's really environmental stressors that really, and in addition to not having tools to cope with these stressors, you just feel like you can't take the pain anymore. And so all of this really led me to the mental health space, which I'm very passionate about and continue to be, to make sure that everyone has access to tools and resources so they can continue to grow and flourish.
Well, actually, that makes perfect sense, because you're leading a group practice of mostly Latina therapists. How has the practice evolved since its inception?
Well, it started with one person, me. And I was working so much. I was seeing many clients, and there wasn't enough space for me to take on more clients. And slowly, social workers that were following the Latinx and Social Work series and that were part of it, they just knocked on my door and said, hey, would you mentor me? I want to do what you're doing. And slowly, I started bringing people in as a mentor, and we started growing a group practice together. And I really love the fact that they are so passionate about the same community. And also, we can really talk the same language. We don't have to explain, micro invalidations and microaggressions to each other, because we've experienced it and we're more culturally humble because we are talking about social justice. And even though you're Latina, it doesn't mean that you are culturally humble. I want to correct myself. But when you're doing the work together and you're talking and you're in group and you're in community, you really start connecting on the things that you have in common. And so this practice has evolved, and we are now about 8 of us, and we're all really excited about supporting our communities. And we have created groups, meaning group work together, co-leading workshops for the community. We just had a self-love fest that we all co-led together, and 4 of our incredible practitioners were there. We have Monica Guzman, we have Jessica Ramirez, Tiffany Hervas, Michelle Castillo, and Amber Ortiz. I mean, these are amazing people that are doing this work with me. So I feel really proud of us, and we're serving more people, which is exciting.
It's fascinating to see that you've also recently delved into the psychedelic space. What inspired your interest in this area, and how do you envision it intersecting with your advocacy for mental health and social justice?
You know, the psychedelic space is it's not representative of our communities, just like social worker was. Right now, we are growing in the field. There is more of us. But in the psychedelic space, we see it's been white dominated, specifically men. White men are owning in this space and really doing the trainings and opening up these incredible businesses that provide psychedelic therapy. And as Latinas, or as people of color, we have to do a few things. We have to undo the stigma. to our, you know, to our community of what psychedelics is and how it can support your mental health. But we also have to undo the stigma of just seeking support for mental health. Many people do not want to admit that they are feeling a certain way because it's really taboo to talk about it in communities. And so that, on top of talking about a new modality that is legal with ketamine-assisted therapy, is something that we have to navigate together as a community. And what made me get involved was I've always really been pulled to ancestral wisdom and plant medicine. And we know that's not legal in the United States. And I've always wanted to travel to South America, go back to my land, go back to my roots, and really learn from the incredible healers and understand these sacred medicines. But I didn't have the option or opportunity because navigating those, the resources financially and running a business was not something I could do. So when I heard about the ketamine-assisted training program, I was all in, and I participated for a week. I was trained by the incredible leaders in trauma, and I experienced my own psychedelic healing during the training. And things that I was really trying to work on for over 20 years, I was able to work on in a week because it was so profound. I was able to really tap into the parts of me that really had a low self-esteem and didn't honor myself as I would love to honor myself. And that was really amazing.
That sounds like quite an experience, like it just something that I think you said it best, right? Something that is also part of our culture that has kind of been taken away or been used in a way that makes it not ours, and reclaiming that. And so what opportunities do you see for incorporating CAP into culturally responsive practices?
I think that collaboration is so key. It really is. There's an important part of working in community. And I have met incredible social workers that are Peruvian, that are from South America, that are also connecting to the space. And one of them is Camila Pastor, who I find to be one of the most amazing social workers that has such incredible tools. And not only is she extremely experienced in somatic breath work and more, and psychedelics, she is Latina. She's from Peru and she understands. And we began to collaborate together and we decided to really bridge the gap and connect with our community and offer BIPOC workshops, BIPOC healing workshops, BIPOC ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. And it's exciting because one is coming up in April.
Yeah, I noticed that you'll be hosting a somatic ketamine-assisted psychotherapy BIPOC group next month with Camila. Can you share more about this initiative and its significance, particularly in addressing the needs of BIPOC communities?
Absolutely. Healing and community is so important. And it's our pleasure to announce that we have a 7-week low-fee somatic ketamine-assisted psychotherapy specifically for BIPOC folks. And we're providing 20 hours of therapy in over 7 weeks at a low rate, just $70 an hour. And usually it's so much more. It's at least $200 per hour. And it's a total of $1,400 per person for over 20 hours of therapy. It's our intention to really make ketamine psychotherapy more affordable and accessible modality for our communities. And group therapy offers the opportunity to heal with the help of ketamine, plus an intentional, inclusive communal process to help you step out of your old stories and patterns into a new experience of yourself. So the group therapy is super powerful. It begins on April 10th. And it's 7 weeks long and ends in June. We meet on Wednesdays. The week one is April 10th. We meet online. It's going to be a prep from 7 to 8:30. That means like we're prepping for the ketamine psychedelic experience. Week two, we do the same thing. We're continuing to prep together on Wednesdays evenings, and week three as well. So we're prepping you before we sit with the medicine. And finally, in May, we'll have our first ketamine-assisted psychotherapy in-person group, and it will be in the evening as well from 5 to 8 p.m. in the city. Camilla has a beautiful office, which is extremely accessible. And then we continue with integration, because integrating what happens in these groups is so important. And we have integration right after the following night on Thursday with the group and two therapists. And we will follow up again with the next ketamine assisted group therapy. So it's a 7-week group ketamine assisted psychotherapy. And we have a couple of spots left, which is really exciting because many people have joined us because there's nothing out there that's like this right now. And it's exciting to really be in community. And what we're hoping to do is build community that can support themselves with these tools that they are learning through the integration. I'll share the form and the bio for people to apply. And Camilla or I will get back to you. And it's really exciting. I'm so proud of this work. This is probably something that I'm very passionate about. And it's not about us benefiting from people's traumas, because a lot of times psychedelic spaces, it's about the money. We really want to just build community and heal together just the way our ancestors have. And everyone that's going to be there was called to be there. So we're excited about that.
I love that. I love that you just, you know, said that out there. It's not about the money. It's about healing. Are there any other events coming up that you would like everyone to be informed about?
Yes, Pilar, I know which one we want everyone to come to. We have the Latinx, Latine and social work authors, and the Latino student social work organization from NYU putting together this amazing event on April 18th, which is Siembra Today, Planting the Seeds of Hope for the Next Generation. And we have a panel of amazing social work leaders from Latinx and Social Work Volume 2 coming to share their words of wisdom and their gems with the community on the different levels of social work. Like we have macro, meso, and micro social work. And everyone needs to understand what is out there. And we have some agencies that are coming to table to connect with social workers. And it's just an incredible day to connect, to build community, to meet some of the authors, and also see where your next, you know, career path leads you to. And networking is so key to growth. And so we want to provide those seeds of hope for all of our social workers and our students, because it's part of one of our pillars at Siembra Today. Really excited. We have amazing guests. I mean, I'll give you a little sneak peek of some of the guests. We have Adeleni Vasquez, who is going to be the keynote. Dr. Linda LaSalle Bryant, who's opening remarks. And I'll give you a little sneak peek of our closer, who's Dr. Laura Quiros. And everything in between will be announced on Instagram and the newsletter. And I don't want to take that surprise away.
Well, I can't wait to see the newsletter because this sounds like it's going to be an amazing time. And really quickly, just because yesterday was Essential Worker Day, and because this is Social Work Month and Women's History Month, what do you have to say to those people that don't recognize that social workers are essential workers?
If it wasn't for social workers, we would be lost. Imagine a day without social workers. Our systems wouldn't work. Social workers are essential. We're in every space and we're doing amazing work. And I want to say you are essential to all of you. You are amazing. You are worthy of everything and more. And we have to stick together because our profession is incredibly special. I feel like we're born social workers and then we move into this space. And don't give up. Don't give up. And make sure that if you have social workers in your agency, in your organization, you honor them for their worth, their time, their wisdom, and you are equitable with them and you acknowledge them and you validate their incredible abilities, because recruiting social workers is somewhat easy, but retaining them is what's difficult because we are wanted in all spaces now. So make sure you treat us well.
I hope everybody that's at an agency, everybody in any space recognizes that. And yeah, let's do more than flowers or pizza or some ridiculous small token. Say thank you to social workers. And thank you, Erica, for giving me this opportunity to interview you. This has been amazing.
No, thank you, Pilar. You were our intern last year. You are so amazing, and we're so excited to continue to have you in our space and support this amazing initiatives. You are so, so incredible and talented and everything that we loved about interns. So thank you so much to you. And now you support us on so many amazing initiatives as our chief of programs, which is incredible. We would not be able to do this work without you. So muchas gracias. And thank you so much for interviewing me. I was a little nervous. I was like, oh man, but it was so much fun. And thank you. And happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Latinx and Social Work Podcast. This show is a labor of love where we hope these conversations will not only provide resources, but will help heal, lead, and inspire our communities and let them know that they're not alone. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a review and comment on iTunes or Spotify, letting us know what you think. And if you're interested, purchase our award-winning books, Latinx, Latina, and Social Work, Stories That Heal, Inspire, and Connect Communities, on our website, www.latinxandsocialwork.com. Lastly, be sure to follow us on social media at Latinx and Social Work. Till next time.